The light of Klal Yisrael defeats the Choshech of Yavan. The Yontov of Chanukah always takes place during the parashiyos that recount the story of Yosef. What connection is there between Yosef and Chanukah? In addition, the Golus of Yavan took place when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael and had a Beit HaMikdash. The Avodah that was done in the Beit HaMikdash went completely against the ideology of the Yavanim. Why then didn't the Yavanim seek to destroy the Beit HaMikdash? The original three mitzvahs that the Yavanim banned were Shabbos, Chodesh, and Milah. What is so unique and special about these three specific mitzvahs that caused the Yavanim to outlaw them? Lastly, the Medrash classified the Yavan as Choshech, darkness. That is their essence. Why is it specifically Yavan who is categorized as Choshech? There is a Medrash that explains why Yavan is called Choshech. It says, V'choshech zu malchus Yavan, she'achshicha einayim shal Yisrael b'gzei reiseihen, she'hoisa oimeres lohem, kisvu al keren hasher, she'ein lochem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Since they decreed that Klal Yisrael had to engrave into the horn of an axe the words, Ein lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael, they are therefore categorized as Choshech. This needs clarification. Why does this gezeirah cause them to be classified as Choshech? Let's examine and analyze this gezeirah of Kisvu lachem al keren hasher, Ein lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. This will enable us to comprehend the essence of Yavan. From the fact that the Yavanim wanted Klal Yisrael to state that they have no chelek in Elokei Yisrael, it's evident that Klal Yisrael's belief in having a chelek in Elokei Yisrael is the antithesis of Yavan's ideology. They therefore strove to uproot this concept from Klal Yisrael. What indeed is this concept that so infuriated the Yavanim, and why were they against it? We also need to understand why they required this statement to be engraved specifically on the Keren Hasher, the horn of an axe. Of what significance is that to the Yavanim? Let's examine the exact wording which the Yavanim required Klal Yisrael to engrave into the Keren Hasher. The wording of the Medrash we have quoted was, Ein lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. In other Midrashim, this same statement is quoted with slight variations. One Medrash says, Ein li Yisrael chelek b'elokei Yisrael, as opposed to Ein lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Another Medrash says, Ein lachem chelek l'olam haba. And the Yerushalmi says, Kisvu al keren hasher, Kifru b'toiras Moshe Rabchem, be kofer and deny the existence of the Torah. Are these midrashim telling us about different edicts, or are they discussing the same one gezeira? We will strive to explain be'ezras Hashem how the theme of all these midrashim is one and the same. To that end, we must ask, what single point of Yiddishkeit are the Yavanim attacking by forcing Klal Yisrael to make these declarations? The pshat in a nutshell is that Yavan's ideology and philosophy was to believe in and worship Chitonius, the external elements. Klal Yisrael, however, focuses on the Pnimius, the internal elements. The Yavanim therefore targeted the Pnimius of the Bria, Klal Yisrael's connection to Hashem and the Torah. Let's elaborate further on this pshat. What is the innermost Pnimius, the essence of the Bria? Of course, it is Hashem Yisbarach, who is the Mekor HaChayim, the ultimate source of the entire Bria. The continued existence of the world comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, The Nefesh HaChaim, however, explains that Hashem set up a system by which the world runs. According to this system, the ability to have an effect on this world was given exclusively to Klal Yisrael. The Torah and mitzvahs that we perform are the direct cause for any goodness which is bestowed upon the world. The Nefesh HaChaim, however, differentiates between the power of Torah and the power of mitzvahs. He says that the ability of mitzvahs to create added kedusha and good hashpois stem from the Torah HaKedusha. The ultimate source of all kedusha and hashpois tovos is the Torah. The kedusha generated by the mitzvahs is due to the fact that the mitzvahs have a source in the Torah. This infuses kedusha into the mitzvahs. Therefore, through the performance of a mitzvah, we cause a positive change both in our world and in the Olam Yisrael Yoinim. The explanation as to why the Torah is the real source of all kedusha and hashpa is because Oiraisa v'kudsha brichu chadu. Hashem and the Torah are like one. The Sheirish of the Torah is located in the highest parts of the spiritual world. It is the closest possible to the source of all life, to Hashem Yisbarach, to the extent that the Medrash says, Kudsha Brichu Ikri Torah. Hashem is called Torah. Kudsha Brichu V'Oiraisa Chadu. Therefore, by learning Torah, we are connecting to the innermost part of the spiritual world. We are activating and generating a hashpa, which comes from the most primitive part of the Bria. This type of hashpa is the most powerful hashpa mankind could possibly create. The energy created by atom bombs and hydrogen bombs pale in comparison to the tremendous energy released into the Bria through our Limud HaTorah. Our Torah learning is the spiritual sustainment of all the Ruchniyistika worlds. Without Klal Yisrael's Limud HaTorah, all the spiritual worlds, as well as our physical world, would cease to exist. This is because the Torah is the Eitz HaChaim, the source of all life. Therefore, without the Hashpa of the Torah, there is no life. Let's understand, who has this ability to affect the innermost spiritual worlds through his Limud HaTorah? What if a goy in a university studies the Talmud? Does his learning have this special power as well? The answer is, most definitely not. Only Klal Yisrael has this koyach to connect to the most pneumistic of spiritual worlds through Limud HaTorah. The obvious question is, what's the difference between the Limud HaTorah of a Yid and that of a Goy? Why the discrimination? Why is it only the learning of a Yid that can generate life for their entire world? This leads us to another very fundamental question. Is there an inherent difference between a Yid and a Goy? Imagine that a Goy gets dressed up like a Yid. He davens 3 times a day. Learns 10 hours a day and recites brachas before he eats. Everything he does is exactly the way we would do it. Is this non-Jew now any different than other Jews? Has he managed to change himself inherently to become even somewhat similar to a Yid through his external actions? Or is there still the same fundamental difference between him and any Jew? The Maharal and Nefesh HaChaim, as well as many other Mefarshim, teach us a very fundamental principle. A Yid is in a completely different stratosphere than a Goy. The difference between a Yid and a Goy is a qualitative difference. We are a totally different entity than a Goy. A Jew's guf is composed of much higher quality materials than the materials from which a Goy's guf is created. In the spiritual realm as well, a Yid has a neshama kedusha, whereas a goy has a nefesh that stems from the spiritually impure forces. Let's elaborate a bit on these physical and spiritual differences that exist between us and the goyim. Every physical entity in this world has a spiritual entity that is in charge of it. The nature of the physical entity reflects the nature of its spiritual source. The life force of this physical entity is sent to it from Hashem through its spiritual source. If Hashem decides, for whatever reason, to diminish or end the power of a specific spiritual source, its corresponding physical entity will likewise diminish or end. A Jew has a spiritually holy soul which comes directly from Hashem. A non-Jew, however, does not have a spiritually holy soul. On the contrary, his soul is a spiritually impure soul that stems from the spiritually impure forces. His life force and needs are therefore channeled through these impure forces. It follows that whatever is transmitted to him through the impure forces becomes impure. This causes the guy's whole being, his whole mahus, to become permeated by impurity. The physical makeup of a yid as well vastly differs from that of a goyis. The explanation for this is as follows. There are four components from which everything in the world was created. These components are called the four yesoides. Each one of the yesoides is made up of two parts, a nefesh, the non-physical part, and the chomer, the physical part. The human body is created from the chomer of the yesoides. The nefesh hayesoides of a person, which is what connects the guf to the neshama, is made from the nefesh of each of the four yesoides. For this reason, it is called the nefesh hayesoides, since it is composed from the nefashis of the four yesoides. There are, however, different levels of the four yesoides, the more refined and the less refined. A person that's created from the more refined part of the yesoides has better character traits and less lusts than someone created from a lesser refined form of the yesoides. Klal Yisrael's bodies and nefesh hayesoides are created from the refined part of the four yesoides, whereas non-Jews are created from the coarse part of the yesoides. Klal Yisrael, therefore, has better all-around character traits and less undesirable lusts. The Shoresh of Klal Yisrael's collective neshama is located in the uppermost pneumistic spheres of the spiritual world, alongside the Torah. The neshama of every yid is davuk to a part of the Torah HaKdosha, as it says, Yisrael ve'ayraiso v'kutcho brichu charu. By virtue of possessing a neshama, we are able to understand the Torah, and by learning Torah, we water and nourish our neshama. The pneumius of the Bria is Yisrael v'ayraiso. The continued existence of the world is determined and dependent on Yisrael v'ayraiso, since they are the innermost part of the Bria. This is what the Medrash means when it says that the world was created v'shvil Yisrael u'v'shvil ha-Torah. It means that the pneumius ha-Bria, which determines the state of world affairs, is Yisrael and the Torah. This is the meaning of the statement, Ein lochem chelek b'elikei Yisrael, which Klal Yisrael was forced to engrave into the Keren Hashar. The Yevanim wanted the Yidim to proclaim, we are not a chelek elikam imal. We do not have a neshama kedoshah, through which we have a special connection to Elikei Yisrael, to both the Torah and Hashem. They wanted Klal Yisrael to declare, our neshamos do not make us Yisrael v'oyraiso chad, we are not connected to Elikei Yisrael, meaning the Torah, which the Medrash says is called Kodesh Brichu. Nor are we Yisrael v'Kodesh Brichu. We have no connection, no special connection to Hashem by virtue of our neshama. The Yevanim's ideology was that only what you can see, feel, or touch is real. The Chitzonius is all that there is. Olam Hazeh is the beginning and the end, and the Guf is all that exists. Any notion that there exists some type of inner essence in a person or in the world is the antithesis of Yevon's philosophy. They therefore attacked any philosophy which views a person as possessing an internal being. We can now understand the variant midrashim that say Ein lachem chelek ba'olam haba and Ein liYisrael chelek b'Elokei Yisrael. These midrashim are in essence conveying the exact same message as the previous midrash. The Yevanim were against the belief in Klal Yisrael's connection to Hashem through our neshama. By virtue of our neshama, our chelek elikamimal, we all have a chelek in Olam Haba, as the Mishnah says. Kol Yisrael Yeshlem chelek la'olam haba. The reason for this is, since we have a neshama kedosha, which is part of Hashem, we acquire the title of banim. Just like a child is the extension of his father, so too we are like banim by virtue of the fact that our neshama is an extension of Hashem. It follows that any Yid who retains the neshama's connection to Hashem falls into the category of banim, thereby entitling him to a chelek in Olam Haba. The logic being that since Hashem is nitzchi, eternal, any extension of Hashem must be eternal as well. A Yid that falls under the category of banim is simultaneously labeled as Yisrael, a title connotating an important personage, as the pasuk says, Bini Bechori Yisrael. As long as you are Bini, you are Yisrael, and are therefore Zeicha to Olam Haba, as the Mishnah teaches us, Ka Yisrael, Yeshlem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Any Yid that's classified as Yisrael is entitled to a chelek in Olam Haba. This is the meaning of this statement. Ein liYisrael chelek b'Elokei Yisrael, as well as the pshat in Ein lachem chelek l'Olam Haba. To further explain, the Yevanim's ideology was gashmius, gashmius, and more gashmius. They believed that a person's life's focus should be directed exclusively towards the pursuit of gashmiistic pleasures. This approach was based on their heretical philosophical belief that claimed that Olam Hazeh is the purpose of creation. They therefore wanted Klal Yisrael to renounce their connection and belief in Olam Haba. Their goal was to get Klal Yisrael to embrace their world belief and declare that the physical world is all that exists. There is no Olam Haba, Chas V'Shalom. The Yidim should therefore renounce the notion that their title of Yisrael gives them VIP status and makes them eligible for entry into a future world, Olam Haba. To this end, they required Klal Yisrael to state that their title of Yisrael isn't a badge of honor. It isn't an entry ticket into Olam Haba. Ein lachem chelek l'Olam Haba. And Ein liYisrael chelek b'Elokei Yisrael. There is no such thing as being nehene miziv hashchino, as having a chelek in Elokei Yisrael in Olam Haba. The neshama of Klal Yisrael, their inner light, was viewed by the Yevanim as the root of all evils. The neshama kedosha we have is the key, the mafteach, to all of our treasures. It connects us to Hashem, to the Torah, and ultimately to Olam Haba. by virtue of our neshama, we are bestowed with the title Yisrael. We are classified as Hashem's banim. The Yevanim therefore embarked in an all-out campaign to root out this belief from among the Jewish people. They decreed that the Yidim must all acknowledge Ein li Yisrael chelek b'elikei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has no chelek in Hashem, his Torah, or Olam Haba, chas v'shalom. We are not banim of Hashem. There is no neshama kedosha, no special inner world that only Jews are privy to. Based on this, explains the Chidah, we can understand why the Yevanim originally focused their decrees on the three specific mitzvahs of Shabbos, Chodesh, and Milah. These mitzvahs highlight our status as banim, as they can only be done by the banim of Hashem. The Chidah quotes Midrashim that associate the kiyum of these mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael's title of banim. A goy isn't allowed to keep Shabbos. His bris milah does not classify him as a mohol, and Kiddush HaChodesh is a power given only to the children of the king. Since the Yevanim wanted to uproot the belief that we are the banim of Hashem, they specifically targeted these three mitzvahs, which highlight our uniqueness as banim. We now understand why the Yevanim did not seek to tear down and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They had nothing against the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash. On the contrary, since it was a beautiful building, a city landmark, it would be a shame to tear down the chitzoniistic beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. However, they did despise the pnimiistic beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, which is why they were metame the oils and introduced an Avodah Zarah into the Heichal. To further minimize the aura of pnimius associated with the Beis HaMikdash, they breached the surrounding walls. This served to nullify the dividing factor between the pnimius and the chitzenius, enabling the outside external influences to enter and counteract the pnimiistic kedusha. The strategy of the Yevanim was to tear down the ideological walls that insulated Klal Yisrael from them. To this end, they targeted the mitzvahs that related to Klal Yisrael's status as banim, and required the Yidim to proclaim Ein lachem chilek b'elikei Yisrael. Once the inner pride, the protective walls of Klal Yisrael crumble, the Yidim will experience a feeling of emptiness, which the Yevanim plan on filling by providing them with external beauty and superficial excitement. We now understand how the essence of Yavon, which is Choshech, manifests itself in the Gzeirah of Kisvu Lachem Al Keren Asher Ein Lachem Chelek B'Elikei Yisrael. The chitzonius, the physical goof, is choshech. It's afar min ha'adama, just a few pounds of mud, whereas the pnimius, the neshama, is oir, a beautiful light. Any attempt to convince us to trade in our internal beliefs in exchange for a chitzoniistic philosophy is like replacing oir with choshech. This enables us to explain why the Gzeirah required the statement of Ein Lachem Chelek B'Elikei Yisrael to be engraved specifically on a shoyer, as well as the correlation between the statement of Ein Lachem Chelek B'Elikei Yisrael and the shoyer in which it's engraved. To begin, Rashi explains the Medrash that says, Kisvu Lachem Al Keren Asher Ein Lachem Chelek B'Elikei Yisrael as follows. Since you made an egel in the form of a shoyer, this act of yours was a proclamation that Ein Lachem Chelek B'Elikei Yisrael. Why is the act of creating the egel a proclamation of Ein Lachem Chelek B'Elikei Yisrael? We've previously explained that Chelek B'Elikei Yisrael means that we are a Chelek Eloika Mimal. We have an Ishama Kedosha, as the Pasuk says, Ki Chelek Hashem Amoy. We are a Chelek of Hashem. We are therefore under the special protection and hashgacha of Hashem. Our affairs are managed directly by the boss, not by his agents. The Umisraelim are governed by the 70 Sarei Maila. Klal Yisrael, however, is under the direct hashgacha of Hashem. This unique hanhaga is a result of our having a neshama. We are a chelek elikami mal. We are the bonim of Hashem. We therefore enjoy a direct connection to Hashem regarding inyonei hashgacha as well. The creation of the egel undermined this fundamental principle, as Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Haber explains. The underlying philosophical belief of those who have created the egel was that the world needs to be run through intermediaries. They believed that Hashem is too far away to be able to affect our world, and it is only through intermediaries that the world is operated. This reasoning negates the possibility of believing that the neshama is a chelek elikamimal, since they subscribe to the philosophy that says Hashem is too far away to be able to have a direct connection to our world. Therefore, the neshama can't possibly be directly connected to and sustained from Hashem. In other words, they believed that the source of the neshama is the emtzayim, the intermediaries. Rashi's words are now clear. The Chetu Egel, in essence, was the subscription to the belief that everything needs to be run by intermediaries. This runs counter to our belief that Chilek Hashem Amoy, we are directly guided by Hashem. For this reason, the making of the Egel was equivalent to stating, Ein Lochem Chilek Belikei Yisrael. In addition, this explains why Yavan specifically selected a shor for this decree. It was a symbolic reminder of Klal Yisrael sinning with the eagle. Their intention was to refute any claim of superiority Klal Yisrael might have by virtue of their status as banim. Any notion that the Yidim have a dimension of pnimius, a direct connection to Hashem, is demolished in light of their worshipping the egel. The method they used to convey this message was to have Klal Yisrael engrave specifically on the Keren HaShoer the very same heretical belief as those who worshipped the egel had. Ein lachem chelek b'elikei Yisrael. This was a means to get Klal Yisrael to acknowledge the truth of their claim that from the Chet HaEgel onward, Klal Yisrael does not have a chelek b'elikei Yisrael. For this reason as well, they were required to engrave it specifically on a keren, since a keren is a symbol of eternity. Engraving a belief into a keren conveys that this is an eternal belief. For just as the physical makeup of the keren enables it to endure forever, so too the message engraved into it is eternal. The Yevanim believed that Klal Yisrael was ruined forever through the Chet HaEgel, and they tried to convince the Yidim of this as well. We must wonder, however, why was it specifically the nation of Yavan that tried to exploit Klal Yisrael's creating of the Shur for the Egel? We must also understand, why did Klal Yisrael choose to create a Shur? What was the rationale for specifically selecting a Shur? I'll preface my explanation by saying that although the deeper meaning of some of the following concepts are beyond my understanding, nevertheless, even a superficial understanding of these principles will shed some light on the unique characteristics of the Shur. In Tanakh, the eastern side is called Kedma, the front, and the west is referred to as the back, which means that north is to the left and south is to the right. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah teaches us that Mitzofoin Tiposach Hara, from the north comes forth destruction, meaning that the left side is a conduit through which desolation, destruction, and darkness are transmitted to the world. In addition, the Psukim in Yechezkel reveal to us that there is a formation of animal-like faces which are ensconced in an area surrounding the Kisei HaKavod. They are part of the Merkava. The location of the Shoer is on the left side of the Merkava, as it says, Upenei Shoer Me'asmoel. The left side of the Merkava, which is the channel through which the Midas Hadin emanates to bring retribution upon the people of the earth, is the very side on which the Shoer is located. These facts enable us to deduce an important principle regarding the power of the Shoer. Since destruction and disaster is brought about by means of a conduit called the Shoer, as a result, this Koyach Elyon has a certain shlita within areas of darkness and destruction. It follows that this Koyach Elyon of Shoer has the ability to navigate safely through areas of desolation and darkness. This is precisely why Klal Yisrael chose to make the Egel in the form of a Shoer. Since they were traveling through the Midbar, which is a place of desolation, they wanted to be guided by a power which is endowed with the abilities to navigate safely through such a dangerous terrain. They therefore elected to make the Egel in the form of a Shoer, since the Shoer has the capabilities to assist them in crossing safely through the Midbar. This enables us to explain why it was specifically Yavon who tried to capitalize on the Chet HaEgel. The Mefarshim explain that every nation in the world has a spiritual ministering angel in Shamayim. The Ashpa each nation receives is channeled through this entity. Therefore, the nature of the recipient reflects the nature of its spiritual source. This is the reason why each nation has different lifestyles and cultures, since each one of their ministering angels has a different spiritual nature. Since the essence of Yavon is Choshech, which connotates destruction and desolation, it follows that their ministering angel must have the superb ability to guide his nation through such trying conditions. Indeed, Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz and the Malbim both say that the Koyach from which Yavon receives its Hashpah is the Koyach of Shoer. As we've explained, this Koyach specializes in safely navigating through situations and areas of Choshech. We can now add another dimension of understanding to the Gzeira of Kisvu Lochem al Keren HaShoer Ein Lochem Chelek Belekei Yisrael. The message the Yavonim were conveying to Klal Yisrael was twofold. Firstly, you, Klal Yisrael, have lost your connection to Hashem by committing the Chet HaEgel. Therefore, you are no longer superior to us. Secondly, by selecting a Shoer, which is our spiritual power, as the form of the Egel, you have subjugated yourself to our ministering angel, thereby making us superior to you. We therefore want you to reiterate your belief that you have no connection to Hashem and that you have subjugated yourself to the ministering angel of Yavon for all eternity. This is why we light the Neiris Chanukah on the left side of the doorpost. This is a remez to our victory over Yavon, whose spiritual power, the Shoer, is located on the left side of the Merkava. This historic idea about the type of Koyach Elyon Yavon is associated with is not just an abstract piece of information. On the contrary, this is the key to understanding the essence of Yavon, as well as the specific power necessary to overcome the Koyach of Yavon. The nature of Yavon is a reflection of its spiritual representative, which is the Koyach of Shoer. The Chidah explains that the Shoer represents Taiva. The Sfas Emes as well says that the unique challenge of the Golos Yavon was in the realm of Gilui Arayus, whereas Golos Bavel focused on Avodah Zarah, and Golos Madai concentrated on Lahashmir V'laharig, which is Shfichus Domim. The challenge of Golos Yavon, on the other hand, was of a completely different nature. They espoused the belief of live for the moment, the constant and fanatical pursual of worldly pleasures. This was in consonance with their world belief that Chitzenius reigned supreme. Their philosophical belief, as presented by Aristotle, only accepted that which can be acknowledged with our five senses. They worshipped the physical body by building gymnasiums and establishing a culture of sports and Olympics. Based on this philosophy, they encouraged a lifestyle which focuses on Gashmias to the utmost extreme. This aspect of Golos Yavon is a challenge we face in Golos Edom as well. As the Sfas explains, that in addition to the unique challenge of Golos Edom, which is Sinas Chinam and Lashon Hara, we are faced today with the challenge of Golos Yavon as well. The practical question we must ask ourselves is, what weapon do we possess in our arsenal that will enable us to overcome this challenge of Yavon? The Koyach of Klai Yisrael to overcome the chitzoniistic glitter of Yavon and the physical enticement that Yavon presents becomes clear to us once we understand the source of Yavon's power. The power of Yavon comes from their Koyach of Shoer. Our power to counteract their Shoer of Tumah comes from our Shoer of Kedusha. We also have the power of Shoer. Our Shoer, however, enables us to elevate the Gashmias, to utilize it properly and safely. Moshe Rabbeinu, before his death, called Yosef HaTzadik a Shoer. As it says, Bechor Shoeroi Hadarloi. Yaakov Avinu as well called Yosef a Shoer, as the Medrash explains the pasuk of Vayihi Li Shoer, as referring to Yosef. With the Koyach of Yosef, the Koyach of our Shoer de Kedusha, the Chashmoinoim were able to defeat the Yavanim, whose power stemmed from the Shoer of Tumah. We find that the Golos of Yavon is closely associated with Yosef HaTzadik. The Megala Amukos in Parshas Miketz explains at length the parallel between Yosef and Golos Yavon. He says that the words Melech Yavon, the king of Yavon, has the same gematria as the word Yosef. In addition, the gematria of the word Antiochus is also the same as the word Yosef. The gematrias of Melech Yavon, Antiochus, and Yosef all equal 156. It was with the Koyach of Yosef that we defeated the Yavanim. What is this special midah or power that we're attributing specifically to Yosef? What Koyach do we need to cultivate in order to succeed despite the dazzling enticement that seems to surround us? Understandably, the power plant, the source of all weapons, is the Koyach HaTorah. Indeed, the Shlach HaKadosh says, the Yaakov Avinu gave over to his children the Keser Torah, Keser Kehuna, and the Keser Malchus. Keser Malchus was given to Yehuda. Keser Kehuna went to Levi. And the Keser Torah was given to Yosef HaTzadik. This teaches us that the source of Yosef's strength was his Koyach HaTorah. We must, however, further examine what special attribute did Yosef possess which made him the one to be specifically qualified to battle and overcome the Koyach of Yavon. Yosef's uniqueness was in the realm of Pnimius. Since this midah of Yosef has many facets to it, we'll therefore focus on one fundamental and practical lesson that we could glean from this midah of Yosef. The Medrash teaches us that Yosef was able to withstand the trials of Mitzrayim because he recognized and appreciated his tremendous pnimiistic value. He concentrated and focused on the pnimiyus dika yoifi he possessed. As the pasuk says, ben pyrus yosef, a son of inner beauty is yosef. He realized that the external beauty and enticement that Mitzrayim had to offer could not replace his priceless, beautiful heritage and inner beauty. This inner power of Yosef is revealed to us by the following Medrash. The Medrash explains Yosef's reasoning for refusing to accede to the request of Eshes Potiphar. Yosef told her, "In the past, Hashem has chosen the beloved one of my father's house as a carbon oilah. If I commit this Avera, I'll become possible for a carbon oilah." Another explanation Yosef gave was that Hashem often appeared at night to the beloved people of my father's house. "I therefore can't agree to your request, since if Hashem appears to me tonight, he'll find me in a state of impurity." This medrash begs for an explanation. We're dealing here with a tremendous Avera. And instead of explaining how terribly wrong such an act is, Yosef chooses to highlight his special lineage and personal greatness. How are we to understand Yosef's reply? The pshat is that Yosef's success in navigating the Tumah of Mitzrayim was through his unique Mahalach HaAvodah. He viewed himself as being in a different stratosphere than the lowly Mitzrayim. He was fully and constantly aware of his inner beauty, his heritage, and milus. He therefore responded to Eshes Potiphar by saying that he'll become possible for a carbon oilah and invalidated for nevuah. This koyach of Yosef was implanted in Klal Yisrael forever. The Medrash teaches us that the koyach Klal Yisrael have throughout all the Beiris to withstand the nisyonos of Taiva comes from Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is the source of Klal Yisrael's moral strength. To some extent, Yosef had the koyach of the Ovis. He possessed the ability to ingrain a midah into the psyche of Klal Yisrael. This explains why, in addition to having the title of Bnei Yisrael, we are also called Bnei Yosef, as the pasuk says, Bnei Yaakov Yosef Sela. This is because we are forever empowered by the koyach of Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik internalized all the concepts we previously discussed. He realized that Klal Yisrael is a chelek elikam imal. We have a direct connection to Hashem. We have a dveikus to a beautiful Heilige Torah. Our guf as well was created from higher grade materials, from a more purified realm than the guf of a goy. We are totally superior to the Umos HaOlam, both in body and in spirit. Klal Yisrael's ability to withstand the challenges of Chitzonius, of Taivis, is rooted in our inner pride. Therefore, the focal point of the Yevanim's Gzeiris was to uproot and obliterate such feelings and thoughts. Chanukah, therefore, is an opportune time for us to study, analyze, and internalize the beauty we are privileged to possess. We should take stock of our lineage and heritage. We stem from the Heilige Ovis and Imois, and we're connected to a Torah Kedosha. We are connected and beloved by the Borei Kol Olamim, and we're protected and guided by Hashem Yisbarach himself. Our specialness shines forth to the extent that even the Goyim realize we possess something special. One of the biggest Nazi murderers, Yimach Shamoy, said that there are two superior races in the world, the Germans and the Jews. Therefore, in order for the Germans to reign supreme, we must degrade and dehumanize the Jewish nation. When non-religious people experience a Shabbos Suda for the first time, they're mesmerized by the inner beauty they're witnessing. Nothing they've experienced in their life of Chitzonius can compete with the pnimiistic beauty that Klal Yisrael has. I read a beautiful story that illustrates the contrast between our beauty and their beauty. There was a Jewish teenager who was at a crossroad in life. Should he become religious or not? During this period, he attended the chasana of a friend of his who had become religious a short while back. As expected, there were two groups of teenagers that attended the wedding. There was a group of yeshiva bachrim and a group of non-religious friends. As the dancing got underway, this youth wandered off to the side to observe the action. What he observed changed his life forever. The boys were dancing in two separate groups. The group of yeshiva bachrim were in one circle, and the non-religious teenagers in another. The stark contrast between the pulsating life exuded by the religious boys, as opposed to the aura of lifelessness plainly visible on the faces of the non-religious group, struck a chord deep within his heart. This opened his eyes to the realization that the chitzonius to the life which he had been living until then was an empty life. It was a lifestyle devoid of any pneumistic beauty. He therefore decided then and there to choose life, a life of inner beauty which infuses us with pride and happiness. We must realize that we are a great people. We are the leaders of the world. Being a member of Klal makes you an elite member of society. We are the true stars of the world. We can strengthen our realization in the unique specialness of Klal Yisrael by becoming attentive to the words of our tefillahs and brachos. Throughout the tefillah, we reiterate the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, especially in the bracha of Ahava Rabba, in which we detail the abundance of love and treasures which Hashem has bestowed upon us. Our close relationship to Hashem is evident in the wording of our brachos, as we refer to Hashem in second person, Baruch Atah Hashem, you Hashem. There are many more examples of this interspersed throughout the daily tefillah. The mitzvah of mezuzah, tefillin, learning Torah, a Shabbos or a Yontif are all reminders of our elevated status. The Chashmonaim tapped into this koyach of Yosef, the proudness of being a Jew, and valiantly defended their way of life against any encroachment attempted by the believers of Chitzonius. This is why we always read the Parshiyos HaShavuah that pertain to Yosef during the Yontif of Chanukah. The Kriyas HaTorah of every Shabbos brings with it a special hashpah unique to that Parshiyos HaShavuah. Therefore, during Chanukah, the hashpah we are endowed with is the koyach of Yosef. Since this koyach was the koyach that empowered the Chashmonaim over the Yevanim. The Chanukah candles we light as night begins to fall is a lesson to us all. The beautiful inner light that Klal Yisrael possesses overpowered and defeated the external darkness of the Yevanim. And throughout the generations as well, it continues to shine brightly, empowering and enabling Klal Yisrael to overcome the Gashmiyistik HaChoshech that constantly surrounds us. May all of Klal Yisrael be zeicha to attain a greater connection to the Or HaTorah, a deeper understanding and love for our beautiful Torah, as well as a superior connection to Hashem Yisbarach. And may we all be zeicha to the light of Mashiach. B'mheira b'yameinu amen.